are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Continue the sermon that I started weeks ago, and then it kind of got lost in the shuffle of a lot of activity. And so this is part two of being an overcomer. What an appropriate word for today, from the worship to the word, right? God knows our circumstances. And I'm going to take you to the book of Revelation, and I want to read verses 7 down to 13 and talk with you. We talked about the first two keys the last time that I spoke, so I'll just remind you what those are later. And so let's go to Revelation 3 and look at verses 7 to 13, please. And we're talking to the faithful about the faithful church, the church in Philadelphia. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. That's the season we're in, right? Don't let anyone take your crown. Amen. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation 3, verses 7 to 13. You see, Philadelphia was a church that had little strength. They weren't rebuked for anything. They weren't corrected for anything. But John was actually notified that this was a church that had little strength. Full energy was lacking. It was spiritually frail at the moment because of the various battles, the various tests, and the various temptations that they had to endure. endure. And Jesus allowed the church to face an open door. And this open door would make it an overcoming church. Philadelphia was to be kept from the hour of temptation or tribulation, as God would provide overcoming victory. And often when we're facing the test, often when we're actually encountering the temptation, and often when the trial seems to keep going and going and going, we become weary in doing well. And Jesus is speaking to Joy Community Church, not just the Church of Philadelphia. Do not become weary in doing good, for in due season, joy will reap a harvest. Hallelujah. Well, that was not a big hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Somebody just took a sip of Starbucks. Happy day. And so God is speaking to us today that I've already provided the overcoming victory that makes you an overcomer. And we're reminded that nothing can touch us apart from God's permissive will. That's hard to understand at times. When God's permitting things that could or you think should have not been permitted. Amen? Especially when we're suffering, especially when the intensity of the suffering leads us to a place of brokenness and grief, and we feel spiritually destroyed. It's at that time that you're not thinking you're any victorious overcomer. And when you hear people speak that to you, you tune it out. And you do what Felipe talked about, we do it on our own. And God's saying, no, Joy. I am your victorious overcomer. I am. And whatever your circumstance right now, whatever that might be, and for some, it's devastation. But he is actually speaking to you today, I am your family's victorious overcomer. Despite, even though, and the increase of pain in your hearts. I will hold you steady in this storm. Amen?
Amen.
And I was thinking of a person from Buffalo, number three, Damar Hamlin. His life changed instantaneously. I'm not sure how aware he was of who God was in his life. I don't know that. But I know through the devastation of what occurred, he now is very aware that God has a new purpose for his life. The victorious overcomer is redefining him as an overcomer at this moment. I want you to look at this video, please.
First, I would like to just thank God for even being here.
There we go.
Every day, I am amazed that my experiences could encourage so many others across the country and even across the world. Encourage to pray, encourage to spread love, and encourage to keep fighting no matter the circumstances. Sudden cardiac arrest was nothing I would have ever chosen to be a part of my story. But that's because sometimes our own visions are too small, even when we think we are seeing the bigger picture. My vision was about playing in the NFL and being the best player that I could be. But God's plan was to have a purpose greater than any game in this world. My entire life, I felt like God was using me to give others hope. And now with a new set of circumstances, I can only say he's doing what he's always done. I have a long journey ahead, a journey full of unknowns and a journey full of milestones, but it's a lot easier to face your fears when you know your purpose. My third night awake in the hospital, I met an ICU doctor. His name was Yusa. He told me he had a similar experience. He showed me he was okay, and that meant so much to me. There was so much uncertainty at the time, and just him coming to me, showing that I could live a normal life again, it meant so much to me in the moment. So I want to give a big thank you to him, and a special thank you to everyone on this stage for everything they did for me. And thank you everyone around the country and around the world who prayed for me and hoped for me. The journey will continue.
We kind of really get the vision of how Christ is the victorious overcomer despite our circumstances, as we witness in Damar's life. And so Christ has already overcome, and therefore we can and will be overcomers. And in my previous talk with you, I talked about how the Philadelphia church, they were overcomers because they had placed their confidence in Christ. And the church understood that Jesus held the keys and that he had the authority over the enemy. I think we have to realize that. No matter what the outcome, Jesus has the authority. He has the keys of life and death in his hands. And he has the victory. No matter what the enemy is going to tell you, convince you of, or others will tell you or try to convince you of, Jesus has the keys to life in your situation. And then we talked about Jesus, overcomers are tenacious in spirit. Well, Jesus is too, but we are as overcomers. And we talked about that from verses 9 to 11. And I love when Jesus says, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. And it doesn't mean you're going to be kept from trials. Means that when you're in the moment, when you're in the hour, what the enemy hoped to accomplish, I'm going to come with my power. I'm going to come in my name. I'm going to come with my precious blood. I'm going to come and I'm going to bring the angelic hosts and we're going to destroy the works of the enemy. What he meant for disaster, I'm going to turn for my glory. And that's a promise to you today, Richard, and your children. What the enemy meant to destroy you, you watch what God will do in your life. You are going to be a powerful testimony of his grace. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I want to be a part of it. Amen. Amen. And then we read in verses 11 to 13, and I want to focus on this today, that overcomers have this desire. Listen, overcomers have a desire to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church and what the Spirit is speaking to them so they can live a victorious life. And when we develop a spiritual ear and we're listening to God, to what the Spirit is saying to us, it says in both chapters 2 and 3, there's 7 blessings. There's 7 promises that are fulfilled if you have an ear to hear. I want my ear tuned to the heart of God. I want my ear tuned to the Word of God. I want my ear tuned so when the breath of God is moving into a situation, I can identify this is indeed a movement of God in my life. I need to grab it. I need to walk in it. And I need to believe that the outcome of this current situation will be one of victory. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so that's what we're encouraged to do in these 2 chapters. And it says when we have a spiritual ear, we'll receive spiritual sustenance. And we need that to maintain our eternal testimony and life. Chapter 2, 7. And then we're not going to be separated from God. We're going to receive a crown of life. We're going to receive a crown of life. Not we might. We're going to receive a crown of life. He's saying protect your crown of life. And he's warning us in chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, that nothing can separate you from God. The enemy will try to, but nothing can. And then Revelation 2:17 says, if we have a listening ear and we're listening to what the Spirit is saying, we should be picking up immediately a fresh revelation from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God, and from the heart of Jesus Christ. There's enough revelation to go around, folks. Nobody just gets their own special revelation. If you're getting revelation, it's because somebody around you needs what you've received. It's not to make you super spiritual Joe. You hear what I'm saying? It's so that we can be people who hand out broken bread and pour out wine to other people. That's what he wants us to do. And he's saying, wait a second, I have fresh revelation for you, according to 2:17. And then we'll share in Jesus' triumph, over all evil and over all persecution. We see that in 2:26 and 27. We will also walk in righteousness, and our name will not be blotted out from the book of life. So many people who are Christians fear that if they sin, now there is a sin, actually, and that is if you renounce the Holy Spirit. But people are afraid that their name is going to be taken out of the book of life. God says, wait a second, you have something to do about that. And that is live a righteous life. Live a holy life. But your name will not be taken out of the Lamb's book of life. I wrote it down the day that you accepted my Son as your Lord and Savior. It's there. And it's going to remain there. Now, what you do to live that out is between you and God.
That's right.
Amen? And he's saying, don't let the enemy lie to you and cause you to believe that because you sin, that's it, your life is finished. No, that's the power of repentance, forsaking sin, turning from sin, and receiving grace and forgiveness from Christ. Amen? I don't know about you, but I need that every week. Woo! This boy ain't too clean sometime. You know what I mean? I need Jesus to come into my life and deal with my nasty attitudes, my thought life, some of the wickedness in my own heart. Don't agree with me so much back in the back row. Was that you, Joyce, again? Did you hear Joyce? Amen! The only time she's been agreeable is since I've been here. Amen. But I just want to encourage you that you have triumph over those things and that you can walk in righteousness. Walk in righteousness. And when you have sinned, deal with your sin. Amen. Amen? Don't just leave it there. Deal with it when the Spirit comes and there's revelation. And to some of us, it's fresh when he says, get rid of that. Yes. That's a fresh revelation at times. And he's saying, I want you dealing with those things. That's what he's talking to the churches in Asia about. Number six, we're going to enjoy, if we have a spiritual ear and we're listening to what the Spirit is saying, we're going to enjoy an unshakable, eternal, secure place in the presence of God. We're going to be pillars in the presence of God. We're not going to be moved by the things such as testing and trials and tribulation. We're going to know who we are, and we're going to stand firm, and we're going to take our place where Christ wants us to take our place, and we're going to say to the enemy, get thee behind me, Satan. Leave me alone. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to enjoy the presence of God. I want to know that when I go into the presence, I can come just as I am.
Yes.
And I can present myself authentically and sincerely as one who needs the grace of God. I need the love of God. I need deliverance. I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need discernment. I need God's strength. What was this church? It was a church that lacked strength. When we lack strength, we lean into grace, right? Because his grace is more than sufficient. And I need grace in this hour of my life. And then he talks about in Revelation 3:21, he said, those who have an ear to hear, they're going to reign with Jesus in eternity. I cannot wait to reign with him. I cannot wait to be in his presence. You know what I told him I'm going to be up in heaven? I'm going to be the maitre d' of the big long table. I'm going to have a towel over my arm, and I'm going to be pulling all your chairs out. I'm going to be sitting you down, push your chair back in. Some of you are more sloppier than others. I'm going to put your napkin down. I'm going to make sure that your silverware is spotless. I'm going to be serving you all when you get to. You think you couldn't get rid of me? Oh, no way. Oh, no. This big boy, when he gets up there, I'm serving you at the big table. I'm telling you that now. I said, God, write my new job description. I can't wait to serve your people. Amen? Amen? I have a vision for my future. What about you? What about you? I'm just going to go to heaven. No. It's the new Jerusalem. We're going to be doing things together, serving each other, loving each other. We're going to have new bodies. Hallelujah. We're going to be worshiping around the clock. Oh, that was 5 songs. Let's sit down. You guys, we're going to be worshiping all day. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to come out with, one of those bow ties. And you guys get, I can be a little flamboyant now, but up there, I'm going to have freedom. That bow tie is going to light up and twirl. I'm telling you right now. I am so excited. Those are blessings. Are you hearing me? We are blessed as victorious overcomers. We need to walk with that mindset. It's futuristic. Though we're here and though we have to suffer, there will be an eternal place of glory for all of us to enjoy. The eternal presence of God. Wow. Our Savior is promising a glorious, new, victorious believer who will be a monument of the grace of God. That's what I want to be. I walked downtown the other day to go to a dinosaur barbecue. Oh, yeah. Ooh, it was good. That was in the monument. But there was this huge monument in a park I had never seen before. And I looked at that and I said, God calls us statues of grace, monuments. We're people who've been touched by the power of his salvation. We've been touched and redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. We've been, our testimonies, you have a testimony for Jesus? No, I have a testimony for Jesus. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I am healed. I've been washed by the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm not embarrassed to tell my testimony. I want to be a monument of grace. Amen. Not a little trophy you just slip in the cupboard and dust collects. I want everybody to see that I'm a monument of God's grace. And you can pray that Pastor Greta receives more grace to deal with this monument. Well, I want to look at another aspect of those who have ears to hear. Overcomers have a desire to hear what the Spirit is speaking so they can, what are we to live? Victorious lives. What are we to live? Overcomers have a desire to hear what the Spirit is saying so they can live victorious lives. And I want to talk about when we develop a spiritual ear and listen to what the Spirit is saying, we walk boldly in our new identity. I want you to look at verse 12 with me, and it says, he who overcomes, he who receives their new identity, he who receives a new framework of how to live your life apart from the sin, the world, and your flesh. They have overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of the what? Their testimony. And so the testimony is a part of what have I become since receiving Christ? What have I become since the precious blood of Jesus has washed my sin clean and I'm as white as snow? What is this identity that he's talking about? I will make a pillar in the temple. That's a transformation. You weren't a pillar before. I couldn't even count on you. You weren't faithful to me. But now that you've received me, you're a faithful believer. And because you're a faithful believer, you are unshakable. Because you're unshakable and your ears tuned to what the Spirit's saying, and you're moving in what the Spirit is saying, and you're being directed by what the Spirit is directing, and you're living out a righteous lifestyle because of the precious blood of Christ. That actually has washed you white as snow. And so you come to this place in your life where you are a pillar. Well, we give those names to those who are older, usually. They're a pillar. Been around the block. They've been at Joy for years. No, no, no. Everyone's a pillar.
That's right.
Everyone's a pillar that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And has overcome sin, the world, the flesh, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Those are them that are pillars. Stop thinking you're like this. You're a Mazunga pillar. Do you hear me? You're a huge pillar, and it counts in the kingdom of God. And you're in the presence of God. That's what he's telling us. In the biblical time, one's name spoke of one's character. God writing his name on us speaks of imprinting his character on us and identifying us as belonging to him. When God writes his character on your life, he's saying to you, give up the old way of living. Give up the old behaviors of living. Give up the old ways of thinking. Give up the old desires that led you down a path of destruction, ungodliness, and unrighteousness. He's saying to you today, first of all, you are separated unto me. You're mine. And I've put my name on your life. I bought you with a price called my son, Jesus Christ. You have a new name. You have a new character. You have a new disposition. Oh, don't tell me I know you have your excuses why you think you don't. I know the battle you go through thinking, well, I don't want that new character. Really? Well, then you just keep fighting with Jesus. Because that's what you're going to do. Keep resisting. Keep reasoning away. Keep excusing behaviors and sin patterns and lifestyles that don't please them. Because you are a righteous believer. You are a victorious overcomer. Amen. And you need to behave and live and be that. Amen?
Amen.
Just like I do.
Amen.
And so he imprints his character on you. And then the New Jerusalem, it says, is that's informing us that the overcoming believer will enjoy eternal citizenship. And they need to have that new mentality that you do not belong here. And even though you're here, your life, your thinking, your behavior, your relationships, your desires, your longings, your vision is an eternal vision. He wants to have you identify yourself as a kingdom citizen. Whew. That's a big one. Our identities are strengthened when we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. When we're not embarrassed with our actual testimony. I love having an opportunity to sit and share my testimony. I love to share it. Why? Not because of the terrible things I was and did and shouldn't have done, but because I know who set me free. I know the power of God in my... I experience deliverance. I was set free by the blood of the Lamb. I was a filthy, ungodly, wretched sinner, and it took grace to deliver me. I know that. And I'm blessed that God loved me enough to extend grace and forgiveness. Did I deserve it? Absolutely not. Did I receive it? I'm sure glad I did. Sure glad I did. Woo! As we embrace our new identity, there's this increased desire to keep in sync with God. And we see here that in verse 12 where it says, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of our God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. And when Christ writes his name on our hearts, when he etches it on our minds, and he's talking about really a transformational power here. He's talking about how the Holy Spirit has transformational power to renew the mind, to renew the heart, to renew the spirit, to renew the lifestyle, to renew the behavior, the relational patterns, so that when we come into the presence of God and he's building this pillar, right, that we are authentic and sincerely righteous, and we stand there in sync with the fresh revelation of what the Spirit is speaking in the moment. And what he wants to do to keep us in sync is he'll often bring us into alignment by revealing to us, why is that still happening in your life? Why does that still have a strong, why is that a stronghold in you? Why do you continue to battle with these attitudes? And why is your relationship with me not alive and fresh? Why do you lack such strength and vitality? Where's your vitality as a Christian believer? Because through my son's precious blood, you have that. That's a given. Why don't you believe it and act like that and live that way? You're out of sync. And sometimes we wonder why everybody else gets the blessing. I felt that way, have you? Why them? And often when I do my reflection, it's because something is off, out of sync. And I need to settle down, settle in, and wait on the Lord. Revelation comes, shows me what the specifics are, I can release it to the Lord, be honest with him, and say, yo, I'm really battling with this right now. That's why I have an accountability partner who asks me, are you telling me the truth about what you just said, or do you still need to tell me more truth? That's pretty good, right? Why? Because he knows that I'm capable of lying and being deceptive about the things I don't quite want to change. I'm out of sync. I think God's putting us in sync. I think he's saying, I've been so patient, so loving with the church, but I'm starting to reveal some things. And I want some things to be put back in place here in your life. Amen? Pastor always is speaking so harshly to me. I'm speaking from the Word of God. We realize as well in verse 13, when he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And so we're talking in two chapters, seven times it says that very same thing. So it means tune your ear to what the Spirit's saying. What's he saying to your church? What's he saying to your life? Is it fresh? Is it new revelation? Are we dealing with the things he's calling us to do? Or are we deceived to believe we're something, somebody, or a people that really don't need to be corrected by God? When we get in that place, that's when we suffer deception. And that's when we allow the enemy to destroy us with the pain we already are going through. And we become healthy and vibrant, Spirit-filled people when we understand and follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. When we listen and we let, and who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. That word "says" was an actual word spoken at that time, in that moment, for that need. That's how God speaks. That's what he's doing this morning. I'm speaking in this moment, at this time, for this need. Amen. Who has an ear to hear? Who wants to hear? Who's going to do something about what they just heard? That's what he's really concerned about if he had to say it seven times. Let me describe and characterize who you are as a church. Let me give you the resolution to that by a blessing and a promise. But do you want it enough to listen and do something about it? What a challenge. That's a challenge to me. Christ has already overcome, and therefore we can and will be overcomers. This Philadelphia church was being commended by Jesus for remaining faithful as they overcame Satan's attacks, Satan's limitations, and Satan's obstacles. I hear the Spirit speaking to Joy Community Church. I hear him saying, don't allow discouragement to rob you from being a victorious overcomer. Don't let fear cripple your faith. And don't be bitter about the tests, the trials, and the temptations you're currently enduring as a believer, because God brings us deliverance through Jesus' name. Ask God to give you confidence, a tenacious spirit, and ask him to give you the grace today before you leave. I'm asking and challenging you as a congregation to say, Lord, tune my heart, tune my mind, tune my spirit. I want to hear what you're speaking to me personally today. I need the voice of God and fresh revelation to speak into my life, into my situation, into my devastation, into those dark places. I want to be free and victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. I said, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
I wasn't expecting that. That's beautiful. This is a special moment for Joy Community Church. Anytime people go through what we've been going through consecutively. This has been a tough year. Major transitions, which I really struggle with. I hate change. When it comes to people leaving my life, that's tough for me. People coming and going. people passing on to glory. I'm glad for them. I'm not glad for me. I'm going to miss them.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? That's tough. People ill, so many operations, diseases that only Jesus can cure, which I believe he will and can. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he's in charge?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that he is our victorious overcomer?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that you can be an overcomer as well in his name? Let's pray. What a glorious day, Lord. Thank you for bringing Richard, Dinesha, and Omar here today. This is the best place to be. A place to be a pillar in the presence of God. That's what Richard and the kids are being right now. A pillar in the presence of God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are teaching us to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a victorious overcomer. And we have agreed to tune our ear today. We want to tune our heart. We want to tune our ear today because you're challenging us. You're saying, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church and to the churches, each person's personal life. We need fresh revelation. We need the Word of God to be made alive in us. We need the breath of the Spirit of God to speak into situations that in the natural look like dry bones in a valley. Come, Holy Ghost, right now in this church. Come right now. You know those situations that have brought death, discouragement, and hearts are despondent today. Holy Spirit, come and breathe, breathe, breathe fresh air, fresh life, fresh word. Come, invigorate each person's soul here today. And we just tune our ear to your heart. We tune our ear to what you're about to speak into our hearts. We're going to tune our ear so we don't miss it. And we can participate and have an eternal vision for our lives. We hold on to the crown of eternal life. And we will not let the enemy snatch it from us. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. He's glorious. He's glorious. Yes.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.